Amen. It is a tremendous blessing to be here. Good to renew friendships. And I told Brother Wilhite, of course, he and I have been friends for many years, and told Brother Wilhite when I heard we had, I think we had the Halls were with us, and heard there was going to be a 40th anniversary celebration. And so I told Brother Wilhite, I said, well, we're going to try to find out when it was and try to plan to be here. Because, you know, you don't always remember everything about your ministry, but you remember firsts. And this church was our first ministry. Actually, 35 years ago today, we moved to Emmaus, Pennsylvania. And this church has been a tremendous blessing in our lives. Learned a lot. Cried a lot. I think we were here 8 months. My wife and I went down to a youth pastors conference at the Wilds in North Carolina. I think we cried all the way down. We cried all the way back. We had no idea what we were doing. No idea. And God truly blessed us with a pastor who, you may remember, there was signs all over the buildings. Details make the difference. And that still holds true. The things that are here, I think Brother Barg must have caught on to that. And the ushers have just been, but that was something in my mind. I remember often planning different activities or ministries and Brother Bill Klinger was here then, and, he and I would plan some different things, and we would try to just never wanted to hear, well, have you thought about this? And having not thought about that. Because it happened every time. I mean, we thought we had it down. We had a picnic over here at Camp Olympic, and we had it down. We had it planned to the minute, just everything. Went into the office and we are going through things. He says, well, have you thought about the extra toilet paper in the bathrooms? No, didn't think about that. Never thought about that. But it wasn't just the details. It was the people. It was the lives. And as I look around, the families and the next generations, so blessed. I was so blessed yesterday when Brother Gable had the people that have been saved. Amen. Through this ministry stand. Amen. Now, I was sitting, so it was hard for me to see everything, but it looked like, I don't know, what were there, 200, 250 people here yesterday? And I bet 150 people stood. Amen. That was amazing. It was just it blew me away. And as I've heard Brother Roland talk to different people to pray, and hearing their testimonies and when they got saved and how long they've been here. And it just, I realized, you know, the Davies in 83 must have come just before we did. I remember them being here, different ones. And God was so good to us. And I see kids that were in our youth group that are still here, married with kids. And that's just such a blessing. It's just such a blessing to be here. So I really count it a privilege to be here. I would plan to be here regardless, but I appreciate Pastor Roland contacting me, allowing me to preach. I want to touch on some other things as we go through. I debated on how to try to weave my memories through the message or try to do them all at once. But we'll try to weave it through a little bit. But take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I want to preach to you this morning on why memorials. Why do we have a time of remembrance? I mean, what's the point? Is it just to eat? And I mean, that's good reason, I guess. You know, I preached. Brother Gabriel said yesterday he had the hardest job between Baptist and dessert. That's probably true. We have an afternoon service every week in our church. And so we have lunch every week, and then we have afternoon service right away. We have some folks that come from quite a distance. And some years ago, when gas prices were so high, we decided we weren't the first to do it. We had other churches in our area doing it. And we decided to do it. It's worked real well for us, but so we fellowship a lot. I mean, that's just, but that's Baptist, isn't it? I mean, that's what we do. And we fellowship around the Word, and then we fellowship around the food, and then we fellowship with just everything we do. We fellowship, you know, that's the blessing. But why the memorials? Why have a 40th anniversary? Why try to remember what has been done and what has been done in the past? And certainly we could go to, I thought about verses, and it was mentioned yesterday in Philippians 3, you know, I forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth into that which is before. I mean, that's certainly a realistic thing. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. So, folks, you know, right from the beginning, we need to understand that this isn't the end. I mean, this is not. Don't sit here and say, well, look, man, God's house is full. What a blessing. I guess we're good. You know, we got all these missionaries going out. We had all these things happening. People are getting saved with stuff. I guess we're good. No, we're not good. Paul said, I press because I want to achieve that for which I was apprehended. Why did God save me? He didn't save me to sit. He saved me to serve. And so we understand that, and we can say, well, we'll forget what's behind and reach forth on what's before. But I think this is an important aspect, and we've heard this. We heard this yesterday in such a tremendous way, powerful way, that how important it is to remember, and to be thankful, and to you know, just all the different aspects of that. And we have to be able to remember what has taken place, and to build on that. And to go forward from that. And you find that here, of course, in the book of Joshua. The background, most of you probably understand, they're about to go into the promised land. They've wandered for 40 years. God wanted them to go in 40 years earlier. Joshua was a young man. Caleb was a young man. They wanted to go in, but the 10 said no. They said no, and they wandered for 40 years because they refused to obey and follow God's will. Moses is dead. New leader has taken over, Joshua. And God is going to use Joshua to take them into the promised land. But as they're about to go into, and as they cross the Jordan, God reminds them and puts a memorial of 12 stones. Now, some debate, and I believe there were two memorials. Some debate how this works, but it seems to me that there are going to be two. There's going to be one in the middle of the Jordan River that is still there today. Some of you, like me, last fall, I was in Israel. We left about the day you came. Those of you that were coming went. And I sat by the Jordan River. I didn't see the stones, but I believe they're there. And then there were 12 that were put on the bank. I don't know that we can find those today. That's why I think there's two. But regardless, God told them to set up these monuments. And we read in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign unto you, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Let's pray. Father, We stand before you this morning and we want to remember all that you've done. But Lord, we want those remembrances to challenge us, Lord, to go forward. Lord, we want to have a memorial. We thank you, Lord, for whether it's the Lord's Supper, whether it's baptism, whatever it might be. You've given us ordinances that help us remember what you've done for us. Lord, we don't ever want to forget that. But Lord, we remember today the beginning of a church and how you have blessed it. And Lord, we want to, your people, Lord, to be blessed by that. But Lord, your people to press forward. Lord, remind us again why we're here and what we're doing. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify your name today. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. We have all over our country and literally all over the world memorials. We are privileged. You're privileged. I grew up in this area down in Quakertown. And we're privileged to be from an area and to live in an area where history really for our nation began. Whether it's in Philadelphia, whether it's in Washington, D.C., whether it's in New York City, whether it's in Boston, whether it's, I mean, we'd go out to Gettysburg, we'd go, all these different things. My wife is a lover of history. I've been in more graveyards and cemeteries and things than I care to admit. And we, you know, we visited these places and I don't care, but I should have known better because my mother did the same thing. We couldn't go on vacation without visiting this historical house, this historical place, this, you know, and sometimes I just wanted to go back to the motel and go to the pool. You know, that was my deal. But I realized over the years what a blessing that has been. To remember. I've seen those things. I tell people in the Midwest all the time, you want to take a great vacation. You come to the East, you start in D.C., you go to Philadelphia, you go to New York, you go to Boston. Your head will be so full of, but history. And everywhere you go, there are memorials. Now, recently there's been all this fuss about taking down certain memorials and doing certain things. And I think the point is, really, we need to remember whether it's good or bad. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be that which was, you know, just a good thing for our country, but we need to remember the bad things, because you've heard the phrase, of course, if we don't learn from history, we're destined to repeat it, you know, and so we have to, I think it's good to remember some of those things. But we have memorials everywhere. But you know, the interesting thing is not so much, when we see a memorial, do you say, wow, what beautiful stone? Or what beautiful, you know, arrangement of that. Now, some of them are really, really cool. I mean, Washington Monument is a pretty cool deal. Lincoln's Memorial. That's neat. But you know what? When I go to Lincoln's Memorial, I don't say, boy, that marble is really nice. That must be a first grade marble. No, we don't do that. What do? We say, Abraham Lincoln was a great president. Remember what Abraham Lincoln did. Remember what George Washington did. Remember what the soldiers at the Vietnam, with their names on the Vietnam Memorial. Remember what they did. I mean, it's a neat memorial. It is. But I don't really care about that. I've been to Ground Zero, and you remember the towers falling. But you know what? You don't really remember. I couldn't care less about the towers. It's the people who lost their lives.
Right.
And that's what we remember. We remember what it taught us. And that's really what memorials were all about. And these stones weren't the deal. I mean, he doesn't say pick the best stones. He just says every man pick a stone. Right. Now, obviously, it had to be a stone they could carry. You know, so some may have been bigger than others. Some may have thought, well, I'm going to get the big stone, you know. No, but I mean, who cares about the stones? It was the memorial. It was what was remembered. And he said, when your children ask, tell them God parted the Jordan and we walked through on dry ground. And man, you should have seen that. That was really something. And this was important because the people, for the most part, who went through the Red Sea are gone. Everybody 20 years old and over has died in the wilderness. So this is a new deal. This is, oh yeah, the Red Sea, that was great, but this is the Jordan. This is going into the promised land. There's really something here. And I think you understand, I think you know, but we're here today remembering not this property, not these facilities, not these beautiful buildings. I was here, the barn had just been finished. We were celebrating 5 years when I first got here. And, tremendous, tremendous deal what happened with that barn and what was, you know, some of you may understand, but not much of it's left except for the stone ends. And they had a big architectural problem trying to keep those and went through a whole thing about that. But we're not really here remembering a building. I mean, that's a sign. There was a need for that building.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people got saved in that building.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the building that we're celebrating today.
Right. Amen.
It's not the educational wing. We started EBA the first summer I was here. It's probably one of those things, you know, I showed up, we moved in, and Chad was, my oldest son Chad was a month old. And one of the first things I heard is we're going to start a school. You need to investigate. You need to start looking at how to start a school. Okay. We started with just kindergarten that first year, and it grew to fourth grade, and then so on and so forth. You saw some of that, but you know, that educational wing's been a great blessing. But we're not here to celebrate the educational wing. This auditorium, when we left for New York, it was under plans and money was being raised and there was a need. Absolutely a need. And God blessed in building this building. But again, we're not here to celebrate this building.
Right.
We're here to celebrate those people that have been saved.
Amen.
Those ministries that have been done, that discipleship. When I got here, one of the things that I learned was that follow-up and discipleship was 90% of the ministry. People get saved, but they're babes. You can't leave them as babes. You can't stop there. And we were doing Bible studies in homes and just, you know, 10 weeks, 20 weeks, and it was one of the great things. And when we started in New York, it's one of the things we took up there and one of the things that built that church. Discipleship is just not just seeing people saved. Got to be evangelistic. Got to give the gospel, but you can't leave them as babes. And many of you are here still here because of that foundation that was laid. We are celebrating the people. I wrote down a list of people that are here, and it was said yesterday, and I'm sure I would miss some, but just as I look around, so many people, and then your children and grandchildren, and it's just such a blessing. Why is it important, though, that today we set up some memorials? Why is it important that you remember 40 years? And I believe as we do that, I hope that you will not just praise the memorial, if you will, but what was done and what God is doing. I want you to see, first of all, the first reason that we need a memorial, and the first reason they needed a memorial here was to remember the promises of God.
Amen.
To remember the promises of God. You know, it's interesting, but this promise here in Joshua, them going into the promised land, throughout the scripture is called the promise. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because with this, obviously, ultimately, is the Messiah. And our Savior. I mean, this promise is what where it all begins. And it was given to Abraham, and it was given to Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the people and the leaders this is the promise.
Amen.
And what is it? That God would give them a land? That God would make them a people? That God would bless all the nations of the world through them. I mean, that's the gospel, isn't it? I mean, that's simply what God wants us to have. So we need to remember the promises of God. They needed, first of all, to remember the work of God on their behalf. Again, look over just back a page, if you would, Joshua 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I don't think there's any question but that God has done wonders for Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. Wonders. This was farmland. This was a farm, you know, and a barn and a farmhouse. And there wasn't a church. There wasn't people saved. There wasn't missionaries going out. There wasn't any of that. Nothing was here. And there was a vision. And God blessed that vision. And it was passed on from man to man, from leader to leader, pastor to pastor. I see it continuing in your pastor today. I mean, it's just a tremendous blessing to see God going forward with it. But it was the work of God. It was Him doing wonders in their midst. We might lose sight sometimes of what God has done. And that's why a memorial is important. We may lose sight sometimes of even our own salvation at times. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, isn't it? I think we lose sight sometimes of the fact that God says, examine yourself. And I think He really just, you know, in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember what He saved us from, what He gave us, saved us to, how He brought us to Himself.
Amen.
I'm often, we in our church try to focus an entire service on the Lord's Supper. And oftentimes I'll focus on the bread and the blood, the cup that represents the blood of Christ. And I think sometimes, not purposely, but sometimes we kind of relegate the bread. You know, the bread, that's the bread. The cup, though, that's the blood of Christ. And it is. I'm not being... But the bread, had He not become a man? Had He not given Himself bodily for us? Had that body not been broken? He could not have died for our sin. He did, and then His blood was the payment. It's kind of both sides of the sacrifice. You remember that? You remember when you were saved? You remember how God brought you to Himself? How God changed your life as He's changed your family? We heard it yesterday as Rod Gable said and Jerry said and others. You know, where would we be without Lehigh Valley Baptist Church? But more than that, where would we be without the gospel? How God has brought us to that place. And certainly Israel was to remember, where would we be had God not parted Jordan? Had we not walked through, had we not been obedient to what God said, where would we be? It's so critical for us to remember. I think it's important for us not only to remember the work of God on our behalf, but to remember the way of God. The way of God. You know, to stay straight, if you will. Back in Numbers chapter number 9, and verse 17, we find that God is leading them through the wilderness. And it says, and when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the way, place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. You know, that's God's way, God's leadership. Certainly God set up leaders for them. He set up Moses, which I heard a message recently about the death of Moses. And, you know, how God says there would never be another leader that He was face to face with like He was with Moses. So Moses was a great leader. But now Joshua. Joshua is going to be the leader. He's going to seek God. He's going to find God's way. We know that there are times when he doesn't seek the Lord. We have places like Ai and some of these places. But for the most part, Joshua is going to follow the Lord's leading and his plan, and the people are going to follow Joshua. Can you imagine what the leadership thought when Joshua came back and said, "Hey, we're going to march around Jericho. We're going to do it one time a day. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it seven times. And we're going to blow the trumpet and we're going to shout. And the walls are going to fall down." "Okay, Joshua. Sure. Hey, might as well. We got nothing else to do, right? We're just, you know, we're sitting here." But they followed Joshua because Joshua followed the Lord. You know what makes a church great? It's a lot of things, but one of them is its leadership. It's leadership. God had a purpose for Pastor Buck in founding this church. He had some strengths and he had some weaknesses. You know, when you think about the promises of God, has God ever promised us that everything would go well? My dad used to say, "I never promised you a rose garden." I think it's from an old country song or something. You know, God doesn't promise us everything to go well. How do we grow in our faith? Trials, right? Struggles. Hardship. When I got called, my dad and I were at a Philadelphia 76ers basketball game in March 1987. We got back from the game, before cell phones, obviously. Got back to my parents' house. I'd picked my dad up. And my mom said, "The deacons are looking for you." "Really?" "They called my mom." Okay. I drove home quickly. We were living in the blue house at the time. I got home. I walked in the door. My wife said, "The deacons are looking for you." They called my wife. They said, "Come over to the office no matter what time it is." Well, by now it's after midnight. All the way home, I'm thinking, "What did I do? What did I do?" I couldn't think of anything. That was that bad. So I walked in the office and there were, I think at the time, seven very glum faces. And God had called my family and I to the mission field. I have prayer cards with Chad and Amy on them when they were little. We were going to Guatemala. And the deacon said, and they went through the story and what had happened, and they said, "We'd like you to put the mission field on hold. We'd like you to be the interim pastor." And I said, "Fine, sure, that's what God wants." I, you know, shocked. But overnight, I went from teaching a Sunday school class to preaching three times a week. I mean, God, it's not always easy to follow his way. Faith takes, you know, you look at the people in Hebrews 11, faith is not conventional. It's not what everybody else does. God didn't ask anybody else to leave their home and not tell them where they were going. God didn't ask, he asked Abraham to do that. God didn't speak to anybody else for a burning bush and tell him to go lead millions of people out of Egypt. He asked Moses to do that. And I'm not putting myself on that plane, but God has a way. He has a plan. And I appreciate the fact that the church followed that plan. They followed God's will. They began to look and they began to seek for a pastor and God gave them one. And then there was turmoil in that. And I understand that. And there was difficulty. And boy, we lost some people and things changed. But you know what? As a whole, the church followed the leadership. Because it was God's way. And folks, I guarantee you there's, and I don't know this very well. Roland was, you know, when I knew him real well, but I guarantee you he's doing some things that his dad didn't do. There's no sign-up sheets. Man. Technology. I haven't been able to do that, brother. I'd like to, but I don't think, you know, Midwest people, they don't follow that kind of thing. But I'm sure there's differences. I'm sure there is. But you know what God will bless? His promise is, I have a way. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
And if you continue to take the church in the way of God, then God will bless it.
Amen.
Brother, what happens when the time runs out? Do I explode or is there trap door? Anyway, pastor asked me, he said, have you ever preached with a timer? I said, no, but I'll hurry. I'll try. They need to remember. Now, we're talking about the promises of God. We're talking about the work of God. We're talking about the way of God. But we're also talking about then that they need to remember the walk with God. And again, that comes back to the faith. You know, the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, not only are we going the way that God's going, but let's get in line. I remember Pastor Hammett saying years ago that faith is taking God at His Word. And that we need to find out what God is doing and get in line with it. Find out what God's doing. And that's why many of you are here. You find a church that's doing what God's doing. That's pretty exciting in this day and age. I mean, that's some great stuff. Soul winning? Missions? You know, training people? I mean, that's some good stuff. Hey, let's find out what God's doing. Let's get involved. And so we remember the walk with God. We need to remember the promises of God. That's the reason for memorial. Secondly, we need to renew the pattern of blessing. And these others won't be near as long, but we need to renew the pattern of blessing. You see, the nation of Israel needed to remember what it was that when they obeyed the Lord, God blessed. When they did what God wanted to do, God blessed. When they got away from God, then they lost the blessing of God. And the Old Testament really is just a continuing cycle of Israel, one generation doing the right thing, next generation doing the wrong thing, just one after another. I'm preaching Sunday mornings through the book of Isaiah. And I've never done that before. It's kind of a daunting task, you know, but it's tremendous, tremendous prophecy. But boy, I think we're in chapter 10 or whatever, the first 10 chapters it's judgment. It's just God's judgment upon them because they refuse to obey the Lord. We need to remember, we need to renew and renew the pattern of blessing. One of the reasons we remember what God has done is because we see how God has blessed. And for us, as we go forward, we need to look back and say, man, that may be old fashioned, but that's what God blesses. And that Bible that they use, that may be old fashioned, but that's what God blesses. And that singing and that music and that ministry and those ways of doing things.
Amen.
They may be old fashioned at times, but boy, if they're biblical,
that's
what God blesses.
Right.
And we need to remember what God blesses. Mm-hmm. And come back to it. Come back to it.
Amen.
And so we find to renew the pattern of blessing. I think it's important. Brother George referred this morning, and we went to Revelation chapter 2. What does he tell them? You've left your first love. What should you do? Remember, repent, do the first works. Okay, so we need to remember. If we're renewing the pattern of blessing, then if we're not doing what God wants us to do, we better get back to it. We better get back to a place of repentance and a place where we're asking God to forgive and asking God to renew. And if we're backslidden away from the Lord, we need to get back to that place of blessing. And that was critical for Israel, because many times when you see God begin, I mean, there were times when the word of God was lost, and they cleaned out the temple and they found it. That's amazing to me. There were periods of time when God didn't speak to them because of their lack of obedience. So we need to renew the place of blessing. Thirdly, we need to reaffirm for the people after us. It says here that, verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these by these stones? That you shall answer that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and so forth. You understand this, and I'm so thrilled to see second and third generations worshiping the Lord together this morning. What a blessing. When we went to our church in Pecatonica, it was rather old. It was getting older. And the Lord blessed. And we've seen in the last years some youth and young couples. And used to be our teen group was big. Now our elementary group is big. And so we're waiting for them to grow into the teen group. You know, and there's just, and God is blessing that. But you have to get that next generation. You know why this is so important today? Many of you have never looked at the picture books that have been, at least they were, over in the old foyer over here. Many of you, if you were in Sunday school for the first time, you saw pictures of the barn being renovated. You saw pictures of how the school was started and the missions began and all the different things. And you weren't necessarily part of that. You didn't see all that. And young people, let me tell you, you have a great heritage. Great heritage. In your parents and your grandparents, in this church. But let me tell you this. You need to ask, hey, what mean these stones? Why do we do that? Why do we use that Bible? Why do we have these missions? Why are these people going out? What's happening with this? Because you know what? There are answers.
That's right.
And you know one of the blessings is in Deuteronomy, when God told Moses at the end of his life that you know, the next generation, then at Deuteronomy 6, where he's talking about how fathers need to teach their children and all this. And later on in that chapter, it reveals the fact that they were going to ask. Why do people ask questions? Parents, I hope you don't just, well, because I said so.
Right.
Sometimes it is just because you said so. I get that. But we can't just do that. We have to be able to open our Bibles and tell them, say, you know what? There's a foundation here. Some things happen here in this church. And God was blessing here. And boy, He used this thing. And we need to get excited and let them know what God has done.
Amen.
Why? Because, and this is a scary thought, Brother Roland, but you could be pastor 40 years from now. I mean, you might not feel like you could, you know, but I mean, you could be certainly at 50, certainly at 60, 70. Are there going to be next generations? Are we going to continue to pass on?
Amen.
Will there be more than 5-6 missionary families on the field?
Amen.
30 years from now, Brother George, he's going to be old. He's going to come off the field. Brother Wilhite still be trying to get to Australia, but I had to do that, brother. Sorry. Like Brother Gable said, we're good friends. But we need to reform for people after us. And lastly, very quickly, we need to bring respect for the power of God. We need to bring respect for the power of God. And by that, can you just look with me at chapter 4, verse 24? It says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, we don't have time to do it, but if you go back to chapter 2, when the spies are talking to Rahab, she said, when we heard that you were coming and the Red Sea, we heard about the Red Sea, our hearts did melt. We were afraid because you had the power of God. Man, folks, we ought not to be afraid of the world. We have the power of God. We have the presence of God. We're not ashamed. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. We don't need to be in the background, kind of, you know, the church is silent. No, the church needs to, people need to hear the voice of the church. Hear what the church is about. Hear the gospel. We don't need to cower to bring respect for the power of God. The world needs to see what Lehigh Valley Baptist Church is all about. The world needs to see. And they do that through your lives, through your testimony. They do it through the change that's been made in your heart and your family. They do it through the just seeing this church. I it's a blessing. I'd like to, I do this with our church occasionally. I kind of just stand at the door and watching people come in, and we're right on a corner of our town. Our town's not big, don't get me wrong, but I mean, people know when there's something going on at First Baptist Church in Pecatonica. I mean, we park on the street, we have a couple parking lots, but we got cars in the street. There's something going on. We've had some special things, and people the next day have said, man, what was going on at your church last night? Well, I guarantee that happens. These cars pulling down Colebrook. Why else would you come down Colebrook Avenue? Because there's a church there that's preaching the gospel, that's singing their hearts out, that's loving people, doing the work of God. Why do we have memorials? Don't forget the promises of God.
Amen.
Don't forget the pattern of blessing. Don't forget to pass on to the people that come after us. And don't forget the power of God. God wants to continue all those things. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. God saved me for a reason. I want to fulfill that purpose. I hope you do. I know this church does. That's why we remember. That's why memorials.